Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. In other words, the thief has one plan, one purpose, one goal. Steal and to kill and to destroy. Now these are the words of Jesus. And he says, I am come. The I am has come. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Praise God. I want to preach for a few minutes this morning, the help of the Lord, the life beyond. The life beyond. Let's pray together for the preaching of the word. Lord, we do love you today. Thank you for your word. Again, we thank you for your presence, for blessing us here today with your glory. Now, for just a few moments, let us hear what the Spirit would say through your holy word, God. Let our hearts be good ground to receive it. Lord, let us know that it is for us today to change us and to make us better, to help us, God, that we might be more like you. Lord, help me for just a few moments, Lord, and give me words acceptable in your sight and good for your people. And I will praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Clap your hands and shout real good to the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. God bless you abundantly. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for all that are here today. What a privilege it is to stand in front of God's people and just try to bring something that will help you today. The life beyond. The thief comes not, it's a reality. The thief is a reality. It's in Scripture. A lot of things can identify as a thief. Time can be a thief. Time can steal from you. Time can kill your drive, your motivation, your passion. It can destroy any thoughts you had of doing anything. Sometimes I wonder, are we the thief? Is the thief looking back at me out of the mirror? I know who we like to label the thief. And he's that and more. But sometimes the thief is the one staring back at you. Because we're our own worst. We've got this built-in self-destruct button. And we're not careful. We blow our own life up. You don't believe it? How many times have you looked at yourself in the mirror or been alone with yourself and your thoughts and said, I'm just damaged goods. I'm hopeless. I'm a loser. I'll never get it right. You're stealing and killing and destroying your own self, your faith. You're damaging your own walk. That's not always the enemy whispering those words in your ear. That's just your flesh working against the spirit that God's put in you. Because as long as you have the Holy Ghost, you're going to have a battle in your body. As long as you are filled with the Spirit of God, your mind is going to always try to rebel. because the carnal mind is enmity. It's an enemy. The flesh wars against the spirit. It's going to happen. That's why we bring our flesh under subjection. That's why we crucify the deeds or mortify the deeds of the flesh through the spirit. That's why we pray in the Holy Ghost so we can get the mind of Christ so that we can build up ourselves on our most holy faith. Don't ever think you'll be successful when you stop praying in the spirit. And that's a dangerous place to get, because just like if you want to compare it, you know, we talk about building up, you're adding something, you're building to it, you're making it stronger. But just like anything, you start neglecting it, it just gets weaker. No matter how big or strong it was before, just neglect it. Everything needs upkeep, even us. This walk with God, it needs upkeep. But Jesus said, despite what you can do to yourself, amen. Y'all just say, despite what I do to myself, Jesus has come that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. You ought to clap your hands to the Lord for that promise right now. Because God's purpose is greater than the enemy's plan. And God's purpose for you and for me, the promise that He made in that scripture, is greater than your worst day. It's greater than your biggest mistake. It's greater than the worst thing you've ever thought or said about yourself, or that anybody else has ever said or thought about you. God's mercy, God's grace, God's plan, God's idea for you is greater than failure, than falling, than mistakes, than sin. It is greater. The plan of redemption that God poured out for humanity. You want to know why they're saying worthy is the Lamb? Because the plan of God was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world so I could be washed, so I could be forgiven, so that I could partake of His mercy and His grace. Honey, let me tell you, if there's one thing I hate, and you've heard me say it enough, I hate to see Holy Ghost-filled saints of God quit. Because there ain't no reason for it. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, God has a plan for after the damage has been done. You can't tear it up so bad that the grace of God can't fix it. You hear me? You can't run so far that the presence of God can't touch you. You can't get so low that the goodness of God can't lift you up. Honey, I'm here to tell you and give you some hope in this life today that God had a plan for everything that was going to go on after. That's why it said that He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy, He said. Because He knew on the other side, after they tear my body up, after they nail it to the tree, after I take my last breath, here comes redemption. Here comes the blood-bought church. Here comes salvation. Here comes the breaking of chains. Oh, here comes everlasting life. He knew it wasn't going to be easy, but God had a plan for after. There is life beyond what you've done. Man, I'm not laughing at nobody. I'm laughing in the Holy Ghost, man. I'm telling you. There's life beyond what you've done. Somehow, some way, you, yourself, me, myself, and I, you all three have ganged up. That's an unholy trinity right there. That's me, myself, and I. And they just as big of a liar as that other one is. You've convinced yourself that there ain't no hope for you. You convinced yourself that you're washed up, wiped out, done away with. But I'm here to tell you today that there is life beyond. Oh, so far beyond. Really, let me tell you, that you can ever see, that you can understand, for his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And friend, you can't understand, I can't understand why God would hold on to me, why God would do that. But he said, I know there's coming a day that a good man might fall, but he won't be utterly cast down. He just plugged a solution right into it. For the hand of the Lord holds him up. But you're convinced that every mistake is a final nail in the coffin. That's the stone rolled over the tomb. Well, Jesus has got a word for that too. Roll the stone away. When they tried to seal it up and cover it up and say, nope, it's final, he said, move the stone. So I can speak life. He had a plan for after Lazarus died. Oh, if you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. I got a plan for after people die. I am the resurrection and the life. And my friend, I'm not just talking about physically, but when you die spiritually, oh, he's the resurrection and the life. When you die emotionally, he's the resurrection and the life. Come on, he's somebody. You got to hear me. When you feel like your ministry's dried up and blowing away, he's the resurrection and the life. There is life beyond the destruction, the loss, and the death. Because he came that I might have life, and that more abundantly. The word there in the Greek is parousos. Not periperisos. Some of y'all heard that wrong. Parousos. And it means in the sense of beyond. Super abundant in quantity or superior in quality. You better hear what the Holy Ghost is telling you right now. When he said, I am come so you can have life and have it more abundantly, he said, I'm coming so you can live beyond what just happened to you. You know what it is beyond? He's telling you, you can live beyond your mistake. He's saying, it will be super abundant in quantity and superior in quality. Your best days haven't been realized yet. We make a mistake and we think, well, I'm just going to have to go sit on a skid row and I'll be begging for alms. And I know God still loves me, but I'm just going to have to be a beggar. He said, oh, no, I'll kill the fatted calf. I'll put a robe on you. I'll put the ring on your finger. I'll put shoes on your feet. And we're going to celebrate because there is life beyond your pig pen, honey. There's life beyond the mess that you made. There's life behind all the loss that you did. Friend, there is a life beyond. And it's going to be better than it's ever been. Because you'll be able to tell somebody else, if God did it for me, he can do it for you. Let me tell you how good it feels when you see somebody else that's going through what you just came out of, and you tell them, I know a man, I know somebody, I know a God. And oh, how happy you're going to be when you help lead them to that man, when you bring them to that Savior, and they realize there's life beyond my mistake, there's life beyond my mess, there's life beyond all the stuff I've done wrong. There is a life beyond that. He just wove it into his word. He said the words, Jesus said, the words I speak, they're spirit. That means flesh can't shut them down. Flesh can't touch them. Flesh can't rewrite them. He said they're spirit and they're life. The spirit is life. And he said, I'll tell you about the real stuff, but I'm going to always give you an answer. He said this in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you. He said, I told you all these things. He would just so in me, the word made flesh, the word, you might have peace. He said, I told you all this stuff so you'd have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Oh, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He said, I'm not going to lie. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have that stuff. Holy Ghost filled, child of God, blood washed, preaching, teaching, walking, worshiping, singing, praying. You're going to have tribulation. But just go ahead and rejoice, because I've already put the answer in there. I've overcome it. I've given you power over all the power of the enemy. There ain't no weapon formed against you that can prosper. It might be formed. It might even strike you, but it won't kill you, because that's what it's meant to do. It wants to steal your life. It wants to kill you. It wants to destroy everything you've got. But he has come, the I am has come, that you might have life, that you could have life beyond. You can have life beyond every attack. You can have life beyond every incident, every discouragement, every heartache. Oh, this is going to be the end of me, only if you let it. I'll never quit saying I'll never, unless you're going to say I'll never quit. If you start singing that sack of garbage, oh, I'll never succeed, I'll never be better. I can't stand that. I don't ever want pastor to look at me like that, but I'm telling you, I'm going to look at you in a way you don't like. Because there ain't no reason for a Holy Ghost-filled child of God, blood bought, washed, white, redeemed, getting ready for heaven, to throw the towel in, to say, I can't do it. Well, then Paul lied, because he said, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. The Lord told him, Paul, I'm not taking them thorns away. You can serve me even with the thorns. You can do that, because my grace is sufficient. Paul said, okay, so when I'm weak, then I'm strong, because that's where his strength is made perfect. That's where I get it from. What are you believing? We sing it, we read it. Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? Somebody that can sing, holler, whose report will you believe? That's what I'm talking about. Well, it's got to be more than just a song, and it's got to be more than just something we say to get people inspired. I believe the word of God. When Paul was on the ship, and he was in the midst of that storm, but everybody on that ship quit eating. Everybody just stopped. They said, man, this is over. They're throwing stuff overboard. They're fasting and praying and seeking all kind of gods and everything. And Paul just comes strolling up on deck. Hey, be of good cheer. Because the angel of God, whose I am, and you know, I belong to him, stood beside me tonight and said, Paul, you're going to testify of me in Rome just like you did in Jerusalem. You're going to get there. And he said, there ain't going to be no loss of life in this ship as long as they stay with it. Don't be abandoning ship. And Paul said, you know what he said? He said, and I believe that it will be just like it was told to me. But Paul, don't you see this ship about to turn upside down on the waves? I don't care. I believe God that it will be just like he said it would be. I don't care what I can see with my natural eyes. I believe the report of the Lord, and he said, I'm going to Rome. You need to start believing God. Not just when you're doing good, but you need to believe God when you start doing bad. That his mercy is new every morning. Hello? That it is by the mercy of God, it's by his mercies that we are not consumed. He don't blow you up. He don't burn you up. He don't cast you away. Mercy. Oh, I made a mistake. Mercy. I made a mistake. Mercy. You know why he's giving you mercy? Because that's his goodness. And his goodness is supposed to lead us to repentance. And when we come to repentance, we get back in divine favor with God. Ask David, he'll tell you about it. Read about it, he'll tell you. I know what it's like to mess up, but I know what it's like to fall on my face in humility and say, God, don't cast me away from your presence. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. And guess what? God did it, because God has a plan for beyond. I ain't even got off the first half page of my notes today. What are you believing? The psalmist, he said this in Psalm 27 and 13. So you got to have balance in this walk. You got to believe what he said. But he said, I had fainted unless, he was talking about not fainting today. He said, don't get weary in well-doing, because in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Well, this is what David, he's talking about. He said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, while the stealing and the killing and the destruction is happening, I still see the goodness of God. If I can't see the goodness of God in the storm, I'm going to give up. If I can't see the goodness of God in the desert, I'm going to stand up. If I can't see the goodness of God in the midnight hour, I'd give up. But David said, the reason I'm still here, the reason I didn't fall out, the reason I didn't back up is because even in the midst of the destruction, I saw the hand of God. When he saw Ziklag burn to the ground, he encouraged himself in the Lord and he sought God. And God said, go get it all back. Because I got a plan, David. If you'll come to me when it happens, I got a plan for you to get it all back. He said, pursue them, overtake them, and bring every last bit of it home. Oh, honey, you ought to mount up right now and go get what's yours. Come on. Somebody hearing what the Holy Ghost is telling you, you need to mount up right now and chase after it and recover it and get it back, because God's got a plan. Come on, somebody. I hope you're getting some faith built up in you in this room right now. There ain't no reason to stop. There ain't no reason to quit. Oh, but you need to lift up your head and lift up your hands and worship God in this house and say, I'm going to get it all back. Somebody's feeling it. Oh, let it get on you. Let it get in you. Get it in your mind. Get it in your heart. Get it in your spirit. Praise God. You ain't seen your best days yet. You ain't sung your best song yet. You ain't preached your best message yet. Woo. Listen. See. What you got to get is what he said. It takes a little mess for a higher quality miracle. He said there's going to have to be some stealing, some killing, and some destruction before you realize the superior quality of life I got coming for you. Old saying, you don't know what you got till it's gone. That's when you start realizing the value of something. Thing is sometimes we feel like we lost it. As the old poem says, there ain't nothing lost that can't be found if sought. You can thank my wife for that, for introducing me to those period piece movies. That was Sense and Sensibility, in case you don't recognize that. But I remember the first time I heard that guy reading that poem in that movie, I thought, I'm going to preach that one day. Well, here it is. Just popped out. I didn't have it wrote down, but I just remembered it. But it's true. Scripture tells us, it shows us examples. Woman had 10 coins, lost one, swept a house, found it. Man had 100 sheep. One wanders off, went and sought for it, found it. Man looking for treasure, found it in the field. Man looking for goodly pearls, found it. He said, seek me and you will find me if you search for me with your whole heart. If you go in there half-hearted, you'll be frustrated. But when you say, I want that superior quality. I want that abundant quantity. I want that life beyond. I want to get so far beyond this mess that I can't even see it in the rearview mirror no more. I want to get so far beyond that all that stuff I did that it's just like a bad dream. Well, guess what? You can. You can. And it ain't just one chance or two. It might be 70 or 77. It might be 100. You might, do good one day, mess up the next, do that all year long. But don't quit. Don't quit. That ought to teach you anything, is that there's a better day coming. If you've been in that pattern long enough, at least you know I do get it right half the time and keep striving for all of it, because God will give you all of it. God let you have all of it. And these are the things that Jesus wanted us to know so we could follow him, so we could keep working for him, so we could make it to that place that he prepared for us. The scripture says, beloved, now are we the sons of God? Oh, I love that scripture so much simply because it said now. Because it means right now, where I'm at, in this tribulation, in this mess, in this dry place, in this heartache, in this sickness, whatever it is, right now, I am his. Because my mistake didn't take the Holy Ghost away. This heartbreak ain't taking the Holy Ghost from me. Hello? This sickness can't take the Spirit from me. And so as long as I have the Spirit, I have the Spirit of adoption. And I cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Oh, he sees you and you're weeping and you're crying. He sees you broken and hurt and he understands, but he's wanting to get your attention. Hear what the Spirit is saying. And I'm telling you right now, your Father is screaming right now in your ears. Listen to what that preacher's telling you today. Don't you walk out of this house and give up. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on the gift that he gave you. Because he's got a plan for beyond. Being his children does not exempt us from trouble. But we certainly are not exempt from victory. Sometimes all you can see is trouble and you think that's all children of God get. We're not exempt from trouble. But we most assuredly are not exempt from deliverance and victory. Hello, and joy and peace and strength in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. We are not exempt from the good things of God. Woo, taste and see that the Lord is good. Paul said, I've learned to be content, whatever state I'm in. Another place it says, be content with such things as you have. Well, sometimes what I have is simply what I have left. Because there's been loss, and there's been destruction. And I surely wasn't the first one to ever preach it. I think Brother Arnold was probably the first one I ever heard preach it, but he preached, he's the God of what's left. Ask the woman that had just a little meal in her barrel and a little oil in her cruse. When God got involved, the meal didn't waste and the oil didn't fail. little as much when God is in it. Come on, somebody. God knows what he's doing. And sometimes you say, well, I'm content with what things I have, but it's just what I have left. Well, that's all right, because he's the God of what's left. If he can take just a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread and feed multitudes with it, he can take what little bit you got left and bless it and multiply it, because God has a plan for beyond. Job said, "Woo! Don't you know that man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble?" But even that, even his belief in that statement and the fact of that statement would not make him, he could not let go of his integrity. He said, "My feet have held his steps. I am holding on to his word. I will not let go of my integrity. I know that I'm suffering loss. Oh, but I'm not going to stop trusting God. For the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And after he has tried me, what did he say? I shall. I'm going to be something. Because God's got a plan for beyond. After the trying, after all the searching, after all the praying, after all the stuff, I've got a plan for beyond. And the scripture says, "And God blessed the latter end of Job." He was far beyond those couple of days of trouble where everything went away. He was far removed because he stuck with God. He held on to him. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Praise God. Oh, it's just 12:30. Hold on. The Lord told Peter, "Hey, you're blessed. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. You've got revelation." Old Peter won't turn around and rebuke him. A little while later, when he starts telling him about the plan, "I've got to suffer and be betrayed, and they're going to crucify me. Ooh, be it far from you, Lord." And he had to rebuke and get behind me, Satan. Ouch. That stung. But later he told Peter, he said, "Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." I got you. Somebody else wants you. And he wants to sift you as wheat. "But I prayed for you. I got a plan for after the sifting, Peter. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Woo! We're about to do another word lesson right now. Converted. The word means come again. Revert back to the former state. You know what he told Peter? "Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And in your comeback." Well, hello. In your comeback. Some of you feel like the enemy's been sifting you. Just sifting you and sifting you. But the Lord said, "I got a plan for after the sifting. And when you are converted, when you come back, when you come," he ain't telling you to run away. He ain't trying to throw you out of the picture. "When you come back, when you get back to your last estate, when you get back to praying, when you get back to worshiping, when you get back to preaching, when you get back to singing, tell somebody else, strengthen your brethren. Tell them it ain't over for you, because it wasn't over for me. God had a plan." Hear what I'm telling you in this house. There is a life beyond all the mess, all the heartache, and all the failure. There is a life beyond. You know what we hate? We hate when people say, "Get over it." Boy. Everybody, I ain't telling you to get over it. I'm telling you to get past it. On the authority of that word, get past it. Obey the word and get past it. Get beyond it. Quit tripping over something that happened a year ago. Quit tripping over something that happened 10 years ago. Quit tripping over what happened yesterday and start walking for God. Hello? Don't make me stand up and tell you I know you, because I know you. You can do it. I've seen you do it. I've pastored long enough to see people on the mountaintop and see them in the valley and everywhere in between. I know what you can do. I know who you are. I know what you can say. I know what you can preach. I know what you can sing. I know what you can pray. I know what you can do. Don't make me scold you. I don't like that. That's not who I am. But I will. I might have to look at you in the face. Hey, at least I won't call you Satan. I'll leave that. The Lord can do that. But I might say, hey, dummy. You can do it. Oh, no, Pastor. Chill out, Mel Tillis. You can do it. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. The Lord didn't tell Peter, I'll stop the sifting. He might sometimes, there's no telling how many times he has prevented things that he knew we couldn't take. But he said, Peter, I'm praying that your faith will not fail. Your faith in me, your faith in the calling that I gave you, and faith in, here's a big one, in yourself. I got faith in God. I got faith in His Word. I still got no faith in me. Well, dummy. Yes, sir, get some. Then you ought to get some. You need to see yourself the way He does. I've preached this so many times from Jeremiah 29:11. He said, I know the thoughts I think toward you. You need to start thinking of yourself the way He thinks of you. You need to think about yourself the way He does. And when you fall, He thinks they need to repent. You need to think the same way He does. When you fall, you need to repent. When you stop walking, He's thinking they need to get walking. You need to think like He does. You need to get walking. Think about yourself the way He does. And you're going to live that life beyond. You'll find that life beyond. The sifting can cause us to quit. I'm trying to hurry. If we lose our faith. That sifting, it can come in many fashions, through trials or tests of our flesh. It can be spiritual, emotional. It can be heartbreaking. It's just sifting. You know what a sifter is? Not many people use them much anymore. I used to like to play with one at my grandmother's house. She'd scoop that flour. She's hitting that lump of flour, and it's just falling through. Everything's coming apart. That's what it feels like. It's just all coming apart. But the Lord said, when you are converted, you're going to go through sifting. You're going to do it. It's going to happen. You're going to go through sifting. But God never intended sifting to be the end. He said, when you are converted, when you come again, when you make it back, when you come back, come back. There ain't nothing, if you're a sports nut, there ain't nothing that you love to see better than a good comeback, especially if it's your team. Now, we hate it when it's another team. We got this game under wraps, and being in Georgia and having Atlanta teams, we know what it's like to watch them just let it slip away, to let the other team come back. But there ain't nothing greater than the comeback of a child of God. As they begin to lift their hands again, as they begin to find that place on their knees again, as they begin to lift that voice in prayer again, in worship again. As they begin to let that Spirit of God speak out of them once again, there ain't a greater comeback ever been in the history of mankind than the comeback of a child of God. Your best days haven't happened yet. Don't quit looking back saying them were the good old days. They might have been good days, but your best days are yet to come. Hey, let me tell you, tent revivals and brush arbors and miracle signs and wonders, that was good stuff back then. But our best days are yet to come. God's got something for the church of this hour. And it's going to be full of people. Hey. The revival's not coming through this pristine group of people that have never made a mistake. But it's going to be the battered and bloody and bruised saints that got back up and said, I'm going to keep going for God. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep searching. I'm going to keep reaching. I'm going to keep doing because God has a plan beyond. People that are praying with you, guess what? They've overcome drugs more than once, alcohol more than once, pornography more than once, lying or stealing or thieving more than once. They just got through cussing somebody out at the red light. They had to repent and get better so they could pray for you. That's the kind of people that God knows He's got in His church. It's not a free pass to just do what you want to do. But God knows that your flesh, and He knows you fight it. He's just telling you when the flesh seems to be getting the better of you, pray, build yourself up. Well, He told when He caught them sleeping in the garden, He said, you better pray. He said, because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so you've got to pray and keep that spirit, that flesh under subjection. I can't imagine what Peter felt. You want to suck your thumb and feel sorry? Go ahead. I can't imagine what Peter felt like. It was bad enough to get rebuked. But then, after he had said it right out of it, I will die with you. Everybody else might run. I will die with you. Will you, Peter? He denied him three times. Denied him cursing, trying to separate himself, make sure nobody can identify him with him. His flesh got scared. I don't want him to haul me in there and whip me and punch me and beat me. I don't want to go to Calvary's Hill. I want to go to the cross. I don't know the man. I don't know him. Can you imagine the field day that the enemy had with that? Maybe he had a little set of keys going, chinga, chinga, chinga. Keys, Peter? Can you imagine what Peter said to himself? Think about how bad you beat yourself up when you slip up. He denied the Lord. I'm sure he was very hard on himself. But after the sifting, Peter, beyond the sifting, you have something to do. Let me tell you what was beyond the sifting. He was going to be the first one to see that the Lord wasn't in the place where he lay. After the sifting, there was a Pentecost. Hello? Guess who was preaching it? Good old Peter. Because there's a life beyond your denial, Peter. There's a life beyond that mistake you made, Peter. There's a life beyond. After the sifting, there was the lame man at the gate, beautiful, rise and walk. After sifting, he preached to the house of Cornelius, and the gospel was now going out to the Gentiles. After, beyond the mistake, beyond the heartache, Peter, you still got things to do. When it all goes to pieces, it's easy to only see the destruction. When you're in the middle of it, it's like that's all you can see. The shame, the sin, the fear, the torment. It's easy to give up hope that life will ever be normal or productive again. The psalmist said in Psalm 31 and 22, for I said in my haste, I am cut off. from before thine eyes. We are so hasty. There's an old saying, quote, proverb, I don't know, it's not Bible, but haste makes waste. A lot of good, anointed lives have been wasted because the individual so quickly said, God's done with me. I am cut off. In my haste, I said, I am cut off. Look, you're saying, I'm cut off from his eyes? That's what it's. But he said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He don't stop looking at them just because they fall. The righteous fall. But he's still watching. But he's saying, and that's us, we think our mess up is greater than anything God's ever seen on planet Earth. You have to cut in line in front of Eve and Adam for that. I'm cut off before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. But I found something out. That even when I was so sure it was over, when I cried out, some people never cry out again, though. They just slip under the surface and go away. But you'll find out that if you lift your voice, he still hears you. Oh, won't you lift your hands for just a moment and just do that. Just say, Lord, here I am. You see where I am. I believe there's a life, more life for me, a life better. I believe it. I believe it. There's something else coming for me. Don't get hasty and remove yourself from a life that is beyond this mess. It's beyond your wildest dreams. A life that is lived for and loved by God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stand with me. Brother Nathaniel mentioned David this morning and sins and things that David had done and just different things. I want to talk about David for just a minute. The greatest, probably if we mention the greatest mistake of David, it would be in the sin of Uriah. David, instead of going out to war with the kings, stayed home. So that he had any intention, I'm sure that he had no intention that night of things going sideways. David was a man after God's own heart. He could have been headed up toward his rooftop, maybe to meditate and spend some time with the Lord, but there's always something to distract you in those times. Many times people went up on the rooftops to pray. Peter was on a rooftop praying in the book of Acts. But this night, as he went up to the roof, he did see something. He saw Bathsheba. She was very beautiful. She was washing and bathing herself. And for whatever reason he went up there, a new idea just came to his mind. He inquired to who she was, sent for her. They brought her there. He sent her home. A while later, she sent back and said, hey, I'm expecting a child. I better cover this up. So he brings Uriah home from the battle. Go home, see your wife. He'll think it's his child. Everything will be all right. But Uriah wouldn't even go home. He said, there's no way, as long as God's people and the ark are in tents and sleeping in the field, that I'm going to go home and stay in my house and in my bed with my wife. So David sends him back to war with a note. It says, send Uriah to the hottest part of the worst battle and then draw back so he can be killed. It looked like he died in battle. I'll bring Bathsheba home. We'll be married. We'll have child, nobody will be any of the wiser, but God knew. And he told the prophet, and the prophet came and told David. He said, hey, it's up, bro. You are the man. And here's what's happened. And he said, but God is not going to kill you. He has put away your sin. Because David wasn't done yet. That's an awful mistake. But he had a plan beyond this for David. And David, in 2 Samuel 12, 22, David said, while the child was alive, well, here's what, I forgot to give you this good part. The child that they had, because of the sin, the child died. David fasted 7 days, praying, fasting. But when he found out the child was dead, he got up and washed himself and went back to worshiping God. And they questioned this, and he said, now the child's dead. Or so while he was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious that the child might live? If you make a mistake, listen, this is an awful story, but there's some great lessons in it. Seek God. David didn't act like, well, I ain't done nothing wrong. He said, while this child was yet alive, while he was sick, and I knew that he was going to die, I fasted, I wept, and I sought God, because God's gracious. So don't quit seeking God, because he's got a plan. Now he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David, he comforted Bathsheba's wife, went unto her, lay with her. She bare a son, Solomon. And listen, and the Lord loved him. God loved Solomon. He loved, even after he made that mistake, he could still produce something that God loved. Even though you've made mistakes, you can still do something that God loves. He's not done with you. There's a life beyond your mishap and your mistake. The child is dead, but I'm alive. God's mercy spared me. I'm not going to waste this life now. I'm going to be king. I'm going to fulfill my calling. I cannot change what happened. I cannot change the answer that God gave, but I can live and do something for God. Can I tell you today, you can't change what you've done. You can't buy back lost time, lost weeks, years, months, whatever. You can't get that back. But what you can do is from this day forward, start walking toward God. Start walking in your anointing. Start walking in your calling. Right now, this day, you can say, I'm putting everything else behind me and I'm going beyond. I'm going beyond. It's easy to sit, be stuck, not move, sitting around daydreaming about what could have been. Oh, we live in that hopeless, heartache, fantasy land of what could have been. But staying there will destroy the life of what can still be. You can sit around and think about what could have been and never see what could be. It's time to leave that place behind us. Go on beyond and go into what can still be. So Jesus knows that this world's got trouble for us. But be of good cheer. There is life beyond. And it's time to move out of what could have been to what can still be. So settle it today. Put it in your rearview mirror and stomp on the gas. So you're so far beyond it that all you can see is the abundant life in front of you. Because you can still do things that God loves. While they begin to play and sing, I know that the Holy Ghost has spoke in this house today. I ain't throwing horseshoes, honey. I know it. I know God spoke in this place today. I know God is speaking into hearts and spirits of people in this house right now. That he has tugged on you. That he is just, the Spirit has screamed into your spirit, hey, I'm talking to you. There's life beyond. superior life, superior in abundance, superior in quality. Your best days have yet to come.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.